This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. They'll be in our mix this afternoon when we come back for OTB Live in, about 2.5 hours or so. On today's show, we'll do a little stakes recap. Have to look at that return to maximum security in the Bald Ruler. That was certainly impressive. A few other stakes as well. We'll have some news and notes. And at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by our colleague Brian Nadeau. And he and I will do kind of a handicapper's report style look at the six races making up the Empire Six today at Belmont, because, of course, it's closing day at Belmont, and that means mandatory payout in the Empire Six, $279,000 in the Empire Six pool coming into today. Don't forget, if you do wager $100 plus into your Capital OTB bet account in the Empire Six today, you get a 1% bonus, so keep that in mind as you're structuring your ticket. But again, Brian and I will take a look at those six races, give some ideas. Weather will be a factor. We'll try to catch up and see if, as the hour progresses, see if scratches and changes come up. Usually they come up at about 11. Maybe today they'll come a little earlier, but we will work from what information we have and hopefully give you some ideas for putting your ticket together this afternoon. Let me remind you some of the promos coming up with the Breeders' Cup. A week away, less than a week at this point, there are some Breeders' Cup-related promos. The Bet 100, Get 100 continues through November 2nd, perfect time of the year to jump in and sign up for a brand new Capital OTB bet account. If you sign up for a new account before November 2nd and wager $100 into that brand new Capital OTB bet account, you get $100 put into the account by Capital OTB. So there's some free money available. And again, easy to wager that $100 with the Breeders' Cup coming up next Friday and Saturday. So make sure to sign up for a new account if you haven't already done so. Breeders' Cup seminar comes up on Wednesday. That happens at 7 o'clock right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. There'll be complimentary beverages. You also have free past performances for the Breeders' Cup. And don't forget, if you would like to, you can certainly jump on and get some dinner down here as well on Wednesday night if you want to make a total night of it, and dinner and the Breeders' Cup seminar. But if you want to have some chow at home and come over, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, we will be going over all of the Breeders' Cup races. Again, right here, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. That's also the location where you can enjoy the Breeders' Cup action. Don't forget to reserve your seat. Breeders' Cup here at the Clubhouse Racebook. $5 gets you a seat, admission, and a commemorative Breeders' Cup glass. So reserve your seat now for the Breeders' Cup here at the Clubhouse Racebook. And also a Clubhouse Racebook today, it's an NFL Sunday. Always a lot of fun. Well, unless you're a Jets fan, but otherwise it's a lot of fun. A Syracuse fan too, is it? That would be football Saturday. Syracuse is also my alma mater. It's a rough football season for me. But as I always say about this time of year, I'm looking forward to Syracuse basketball. But if your team is doing better, come on down and watch every Sunday during the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Wear a jersey, you get in for free. Put your name on one of the squares. Maybe you win a jersey or a food voucher. Always a lot of fun. Football Sundays throughout the season here at the Clubhouse Racebook. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget 3% bonus on Churchill Downs wagers. There's more information on that at the website, capitalotb.com. All right, we've taken you through all of the promos, or most of them anyway. You can always catch up with promos and events on the website as well. But again, I wanted to alert to those kind of Breeders' Cup related, particularly Bet 100, Get 100 if you don't yet have a Capital Bet account, because don't leave any free money on the table. All right, let's go to yesterday, and let's start with, you know, the Breeders' Cup, again, less than a week away. All eyes will be out in Southern California for those 2 days of racing. But I think the racing world was really looking with anticipation at the Bold Ruler yesterday in New York, because it was the return of Maximum Security. Last seen winning the Haskell. Subsequently, there was talk of the Travers, didn't make that. Talk of the Pennsylvania Derby, came down with a case of colic. And then it was kind of, well, A, will we see the horse this year, but B, will we see the horse again? When Code of Honor won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Travers and the Jockey Club Gold Cup, he then, in a lot of people's mind, supplanted Maximum Security at the top of the three-year-old class. To me, they were pretty even at that point. So now that three-year-old Eclipse, I think, becomes much, much more contentious, particularly after what we saw yesterday. Going to take a look at this win in the Bold Ruler by Maximum Security. He is going to be the number one horse. And right here, there's a few strides where you think, oh, he's going to get caught. He's there in the pink. And then he spurts away a little bit, but you still think the horses have a shot. But about the eighth pole, it becomes clear, no, he's got these horses well measured. Now, coming up the rail, a little bit of an upsetter potential from Tale of Silence, but there was never really any point where you thought that one was going to catch Maximum Security. But at 23-1 is the rank outsider at a little bit of value, I suppose, to your exacta, as Maximum Security went off at 3-5, paid $3.20. I took a little shot against with Prince Lucky. He got the wide trip. And that Maximum Security got out of the gate great from the one hole, went right to the lead, but then kind of was stalked closely by both True Timber and Diamond King. That then forced Prince Lucky, if he was going to, you know, not sit and wait too long, and it wasn't a race where you could do that, given the fractions, the early fractions. Prince Lucky then was kind of stuck four wide the entire way around the turn, and that may have caught up to him in the stretch. He winds up a little bit of a disappointing fourth in there. It was Maximum Security, Tale of Silence, True Timber. Prince Lucky ran fourth, Diamond King and Killy Biggs captain. But again, Maximum Security, I took a little bit of a shot against. I used him right underneath. I had Prince Lucky on top. But I said when we talked about the race yesterday, if you were going to take a shot against Maximum Security, that was the kind of a scenario and day to do it. He was coming off the layoff where he had a lot of stops and starts training-wise, a little bit of a setback. Going to be the first time against older, cutting back to 7 furlongs, and with the Jason Service-like workouts underneath that were snail-like, it was just a spot where you thought, this may be, you know, they're aiming for the Cigar Mile or potentially the Clark. And so it was a race where, and quotes after the race, Jason Service was even saying, I thought we'd probably run third. And Jason Service was very emotional after the race. On the Fox show, Maggie caught up to him in the winner's circle, and he was very emotional, his voice broke a couple of times as he talked about the horse and said, you know, just a phenomenal performance, a phenomenal horse. And, you know, this was quite a comeback. And again, puts Maximum Security squarely in that Eclipse conversation again, because Code of Honor is no slam dunk by any means in the Breeders' Cup Classic. If you were going to take a bet, who's going to run better, Code of Honor in the Breeders' Cup Classic or Maximum Security in the Cigar? I'm tilting towards Maximum Security, so we'll see how it works out. They're also taking a look at the Clark down at Churchill Downs, and it was funny, during the Fox broadcast yesterday, Andy Serling kind of laughed and said, Gary and Mary West, I think they'll wind up in New York in the cigar, given the choice there or go back to Churchill. And I would have to say, given their situation at Churchill in the Kentucky Derby, that seems like a pretty solid statement. I'm just wondering, though, you leave your options open. You got a couple of grade ones against older sitting out there. And with the older division the way it is, I mean, wait a couple of weeks, see how the Breeders' Cup shakes out. Some Breeders' Cup horses may point for one or the other of those races. And you could wind up, you know, the sprinters often will stretch out in a race like the Cigar Mile. And I could see, you know, with the sprint division being very strong this year, I could see horses coming out of that really nice Breeders' Cup sprint and saying, man, let's give a shot to the Cigar Mile. Let's stretch out at the end of the year and see what we can do. So the Cigar Mile may wind up being far saltier than the Clark. I mean, the Clark, you know, what if they wind up with Tom's Detat, Bal Harbor, and those types? Then maybe you think with Maximum Security, let's go get our grade one down in Kentucky. So I think they're keeping the options open. And as I say, given the scenarios that may play out, I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. But again, given what we kind of wondered as far as actually seeing Maximum Security again this year, that performance yesterday against a nice field. This was a legitimate field. Prince Lucky coming out of a close-up second in the Kelso behind Pat on the Back in the last start. True Timber is a horse that has run well, good second in the Cigar Mile last year. Kelly Biggs Captain was coming out of the win in the DeFrancis. We talked about that one yesterday. Diamond King is a horse that is a legitimate stakes quality runner. So faced older horses and kind of a salty field. Nice little grade three event, the Bold Ruler. So Maximum Security back on track and did it in fine fashion. Also on the card yesterday at Belmont, the Awad, and I said yesterday, for years, I called the horse Awad, and then it seemed like everybody was kind of tilting towards Awad. So I went in that direction all day yesterday, saying Awad, Awad. I watched the pregame show with Andy Serling and Anthony Stabile. They debate for a minute and say, "Yeah, I think it's Awad." So I switch away from Awad. Now they go back. But in the winner's circle yesterday, Dave Donk was talking, and he had trained the horse. He said Awad. So I'm going with the trainer and thinking he's probably right. And Awad is the proper pronunciation. And we're going to take a look at the Awad stakes from yesterday. And the winner here will be number 9, By Land and Sea. Number 4, Pixelate. Boy, good closing second from Pixelate. Don Juan Kitten runs third. Tiesto, the favorite, runs sixth. That's the number 3 horse. You can see the chicklet there. There was some traffic, but I don't know if there was much of an excuse for Tiesto. But By Land and Sea from Steve Klisaris. I didn't use the horse. It was one of those. You could have made a case for quite a few in here. And so I would have no argument with somebody who was going in that direction. Debuted By Land and Sea, debuted up at Saratoga, middle of August, ran okay. As a third place finish in a 5.5 furlong sprint, stretched out to 7.5 down at Parks last time, won pretty convincingly. Off of that, the horse was very playable, very usable. I'm just never sure what to make of the Parks turf races, because their turf course is it's a funky kind of a painted green dirt kind of a situation, it looks like a lot of times when they're racing over it. So I wasn't quite sure what to make of the nice win last time down at Parks. But off of that and the okay debut up at Saratoga, very playable in this field. But again, Tiesto just looked really good in the career debut and seemed like the one to beat. But when the running started, didn't really have a whole lot there and wound up running sixth in the field of 10. But By Land and Sea, again, these are two-year-olds on the turf. That leads into that nice three-year-old turf division, subdivision that I like quite a bit. So we'll keep our eyes on Byland and see. I think there are four or five in this field at least that have the potential to be very nice three-year-olds on the turf going forward. But yesterday, it was Byland and C that got it done. All right, one more stake on the card yesterday at Belmont. That was the English Channel. That one, three-year-olds on the turf, and again, the Awad, two-year-olds on the turf, the English Channel, that subdivision that I like, the three-year-olds on the turf. I put Front Run the Fed on top. That horse will run second, gets up by a nose to hold second there. Halliday runs third. Those were my 1-2 picks, Front Run the Fed and Halliday. Seismic Wave is a horse I didn't pull the trigger on in this race. That's the winner, the number four horse. Look at that outside run here. It's Bill Mott, Judmont, Jose Ortiz, and is going to go by. It looked for a moment like I may get the money here with Front Run the Fed, just getting past Halliday. But as he gets past Halliday, Seismic Wave goes past on the outside. As I say, I like this subdivision of the three-year-olds on the turf, and Seismic Wave was a horse that as we got that, because there's opportunities for them throughout the year, and it's fun to watch, and there's opportunities at various venues and jurisdictions across the country, and so you start to watch really from the first of the year, and this horse started the year pretty successfully. Seismic Wave down at Gulfstream Park, broke the maiden in the seasonal debut at Gulfstream, then went in a little stakes race and won that. Fourth in a subsequent stake, the Pennine Ridge, came up to Belmont, ran second. And so this horse had shown some ability in the early first part of the three-year-old turf season, but the last few just kind of seemed to maybe go in the other direction a little bit. But with that previous good form, certainly not a shock yesterday. And you got paid. You know, it's one that, again, if you looked back on the page and said, you know what, I think this horse is live in here. I didn't. I like the other two, the second and third place finishers. But you wound up with $11.40. Again, on a horse that earlier in the year was a real player in this division. So not a shock, but you got a nice price there in the English Channel yesterday with Seismic Wave. All right, down at Keeneland, they wrap things up for the Keeneland meet. The closing day stake was the Fayette. Grade 2 event for three-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth. I like Bal Harbor in here. That horse will run third. I thought Mr. Freeze was interesting. We showed the replay of the last win, the Yak-Yak, yesterday by Mr. Freeze. We showed the replay yesterday when we had Ellis Starr on, but the Yak-Yak back at the end of September. Nice win for Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze, the number two horse, does get second for Dale Romans. Bal Harbor, the number eight, runs third. You can see they're pretty spread out here. The winner by 4.5 lengths, Tom's Day Tot. No shock there. Went off as the 8-5 favorite. Tom's Day Tot came in with a string of triple-digit buyer figures. Had run fourth most recently in the Woodward. Now, he ran fourth. Bal Harbor ran second. So I was tilting towards Bal Harbor. But Bal Harbor as the 5-2 second choice. Again, about 8 lengths back in third. But Tom's Day Tot for Al Stahl gets it done under Joel Rosario. Closing day at Keeneland in the Fayette Stakes. And finally, going over to Santa Anita, their feature yesterday was the Autumn Miss. Talked a little bit about this one with Ellis Starr yesterday. One of the horses we touched on when we were talking was Keeper of the Stars, who was coming out of a win up at Golden Gate last time. Keeper of the Stars will get it done at 5-1. Giza Goddess, 29-1, runs second to number 10. And Mucho Unusual, the number 9, runs third. Hidden Message at 8-5, the favorite. The three horse runs a little bit of a disappointing fourth. But again, Keeper of the Gate, 5 wins now in 10 career starts. Nice little runner that spends most of the career up in Northern California, but has ventured south a few times. Typically has a front-running style, but not always. That in the race yesterday came from a little bit out of it. You would have to think the connections will be happy with that scenario, because that leaves them a lot of options going forward. When you have a front runner, That's the game plan, and you're stuck with that. But when they can show a little bit of versatility, and Keeper of the Stars did that yesterday. Written by Abel Cedillo, who we've talked about over the last few weeks with some of the Southern California folks. A guy on the up-and-come out in Southern California who had been based in Northern California and then came down to the Southern California circuit. He's a jockey to keep our eyes on. Again, kind of picked up on that. It's really been that way for a couple of months. But Abel Cedillo on board, the winner of the feature yesterday at Santa Anita. All right, why don't we head to a quick break? We'll come back, do some quick news and notes. And again, at the bottom of the hour, towards the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by our colleague Brian Addo. Go over that Empire 6 sequence at Belmont. All of that as we do continue on a Sunday morning, racing across America. Please stay tuned.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup winning your in series.
To win one of these Challenge Series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the Challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning in race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel running both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Again, a few minutes of some news and notes. Just looking at Dave Greinig's Twitter feed and Andy Serling's Twitter feed. Race number one today at Belmont is off the turf. That's the only change we've heard so far. The changes and scratches page at Belmont, not updated yet. We'll keep checking that throughout the show to get any scratches or changes. Because again, in a few minutes, we'll talk about that Empire 6 sequence as well. Sounds like Instagram is scratched. Also, looking at the Greinig Twitter feed, let me just pull that up again. There was a retweet from Don Chatlos. Scratched our two runners for today, Instagram and Cardiff K, because of track condition. But again, wait for that to become official. Andy Serling tweeted out complexity. Also scratched, but again, check when the official scratches and changes come out. However, one thing you don't have to check, both Greinig and Andy Serling tweeted out yesterday's win in the Bold Ruler by Maximum Security, a career best 106 buyer figure. So a nice number as well for Maximum Security in that win. Impressive win, I thought, in the Bold Ruler. All right, some news and notes. We talked some workouts yesterday, and again, hopefully, programming wise, Breeders' Cup Friday, we'll have a Racing Across America on that morning. So we'll have a live handicapper support Friday morning, as well as Saturday morning, obviously, the Breeders' Cup, but a little bit of a change up with the big day on Friday. We're going to have a Racing Across America too. Hope to get Mike Welch in the mix. Maybe we'll see if we can catch him. You know, it's tough West Coast to get him in the morning because he'll be out watching workouts. But maybe we can tape something with him on Thursday afternoon. Because he's been out there. He's doing workouts. Check out the DRF. The content on DRF about 2 weeks ago went free again. So you can read all the articles. You can read the great articles by Mike Welch. And every day he's also doing a little video recap of the workouts. But Welch's article yesterday, covering yesterday's workouts, he labeled the work of the day Chancelot. Not only sizzled 4 furlongs in 46.27, but did so despite fanning 3 to 4 pass wide into the stretch and finishing with jockey Martin Garcia having him under a strong hold approaching the wire. Subsequently, this is from the article, but subsequently in the little video, Welch said he was sent a text by the trainer, and all it said was freak. So Chancelot looking pretty good in workout in Southern California. After the big workout we watched yesterday from Mattoli, that sprint is shaping up to maybe be the highlight of the weekend. So Welch put Chancelot as the work of the day yesterday, but he also said a pair of fillies, Secret Spice in the distaff. I think she's cross-entered in the Filly and Mare sprint too, but Secret Spice and Bella Fina, who is entered in the Filly and Mare sprint, gave Chancelot a run for his money when it came to the work of the day honors. So Secret Spice and Bella Fina also ranked highly with regard to the workout yesterday by Mike Welch. Keeneland wrapped things up yesterday. They reported record wagering on the 2019 fall meet. The weather couldn't have worked out any better. We talked with Ellis Starr yesterday, and he said, you know, for the first time at the meet, I have to announce that we're off the turf as we talked to him. So it just, you know, we had that summer, what, 3 summers ago up at Saratoga where it worked out that way. I mean, if you're a racetrack operator, you just keep your fingers and hope the weather holds, and if there's rain, it's on the days off, and things worked out very nicely at this meet for Keeneland. I saw field size 9.47 horses per race, so good field size. Favorites won at a 27% clip. Typically, you're finding over a long period of time, you're in that 30 to 35% for favorites. So 27%, you got to like that. That means that there were enough that folks who tilt in the direction of the favorites had their fill. But there was also, and when we talked with Jeremy Plonk, he mentioned it too a week or two ago. There were those nice horses that are in that maybe $10 to $15 range that can be fun to play, fun to hit, and can juice up some picks a little bit, as opposed to days of racing where it's either the $5 horse or the $45 or $50 horse that was almost impossible to pin. These were races where you could find a, and for us, the angle, I mentioned it throughout the meet, those Arlington horses did very well. So, and they were in that nice range of maybe $15 to $25. So there were some opportunities there wagering. The nice field size of almost 9.5 horses a race. But all sources wagering was a record $160 million for the 17-day meet. There was also a solid attendance, average on-track attendance, 15,449. That was up 8.6% over the 2018 fall meet. That's a pretty good jump as far as attendance. So great wagering, great attendance at Keeneland for the fall meet. The meet leaders, no surprise, this became apparent probably as we came into the last week. Julien Le Perreux had what looked like a commanding lead. He winds up the leading jockey with 19 wins, and that is Julien Le Perreux's 12th time he has won or tied a Keeneland riding title. So Le Perreux loves Keeneland. Mike Maker was the leading trainer with 8 wins, and Lothenbach Stables tied with Jim and Susan Hill for the leading owner. Leading owner grabbed the title with only 4 wins, but it was Mike Maker and Julien Le Perreux on the trainer and the jockey side. And just finally, going into the final day of the Belmont meet, give you an update on jockeys and trainers down at Belmont the final day. Manny Franco, I think you have to say he is the likely winner, as he has a 5-win lead over Jose Lescano. Joel Rosario is 12 behind Lescano. So it looks like Manny Franco is in a pretty solid spot to be the – it would be a freakish day if Lescano came up with 6 wins and surpassed him. So Manny Franco likely the leading jockey. Same thing on the trainer side. Looks like a pretty solid lead, a completely solid lead. There's no way Chad Brown can be caught. He is 11 in front of Jason Service. Todd Pletcher, another 2 behind Service. Chad Brown with 28 wins at the meet. Jason Service, 17. Todd Pletcher, 15. So it looks like a foregone conclusion going into the final day of the meet at Belmont. Manny Franco, Chad Brown should be the leaders of the meet. All right, we will step back, come back in a couple, and be joined by Brian Addo. We will go over that Empire 6 mandatory payday with $279,000 already in the pool. We'll go over those races right after this. Stay tuned.
Some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vanflix Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Sunday, the closing day at Belmont Park. That means mandatory pays in the Empire 6 with $279,000 in the pool already will get juiced up. You would have to think a couple million more potentially in there. So I thought, why not take a handicapper's type look at the sequence down at Belmont? And who better to do that with than our colleague Brian Addo. Brian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Seth. Exciting stuff. We talked off the air. Hopefully the weather cooperates. We're not really too sure. I think we saw race one is off the turf, but looks like they're going to hold it together for the sequence, which is great, because you don't want a bunch of rained off turf races and scratch down field. So hopefully everything sticks together. And like you said, I would think, $2-4 million is in play, especially no disrespect to Aqueduct, but especially because this is kind of the last hurrah, in New York for a while. I know the Aqueduct meets and Cigar Mile Day and stuff like that, but this will be a fun day at Belmont.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, that they have announced at this point race one only is off the turf. You would think they're going to try to hold this sequence together, and so we will handicap with that in mind. Before we do that, I want to go back to yesterday. I showed it at the top of the show and talked a little bit about it. I thought the comeback yesterday from Maximum Security was very impressive. I thought at the top of the stretch, I kind of thought, oh, they're going to go by him, just because I took a shot against, given the scenario, the summer off, the starts and stops, the colic, and I thought if you're going to take a shot against, yesterday was the day. But at the top of the stretch, just when you thought they might sweep by him, he pulled away, and about the eighth pole, you knew he had it in the bag. A 106 buyer, it's been announced. I thought it was an impressive comeback.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot more than that, Seth. I thought it was awesome. I mean, good for him. I agree with you. I thought He was a dead play against yesterday with the speed in there, with the rail in there. Wow, he was awesome. I've said since day one, he's the best three-year-old. I vote him that every week. And, I mean, all things being equal, he is way better than any three-year-old out there. And that I really was so impressed with that comeback. Kudos to him. Kudos to John Service. He is heck to pay the rest of the year, wherever. But I guess they go to the Clark is what was talked about. We'll see what Vote of Honor does next Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He can kind of throw the gauntlet down if he does run a big race. But right now, that's Maximum Security is the best three-year-old in the country. And I think that we've talked about this, you and I, a lot. I think he gets a bum rap because of the Derby. And maybe I'm taking it from the wrong perspective, but he won the Kentucky Derby and he won it easily. You know, I know he technically doesn't say that and in his past performances, but to me, he drubbed everybody in that race. And so maybe I view it the wrong way, but to me, he won the Kentucky Derby and, until proven otherwise, he's by far the best 3-year-old in the country.
Yeah, and you've been saying that right along. And I will say, after the Jockey Club Gold Cup, to me, Code of Honor moved into the conversation. I've been shocked, though, that a lot of people think, oh, Code of Honor is now the leader. To me, even after the Jockey Club, because he won that by a DQ, which you have to consider in the equation. I have no argument with the DQ, but you have to consider that. And to me, as I say, he moved into the conversation. And I think if you were voting on Friday, it would have been, for me, a close call one way or the other. And now, and I said this a little earlier, who would you want at this point if somebody said you can either have Maximum Security in the Cigar Mile or Code of Honor in the Breeders' Cup Classic? I think Maximum Security would be a slam dunk for my pick.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Seth. Absolutely. And Cigar Mile, that makes sense too. Yeah, no doubt about that. I couldn't agree more. And the other thing, too, is, Code of Honor didn't have any trouble in the Derby. He's been soundly beaten by Maximum Security twice. He was absolutely drubbed in the Florida Derby, and he was soundly beaten in the Kentucky Derby when he wasn't involved in all the trouble, and he almost, maybe he did stick a nose in front, and Maximum Security, repelled him easily. So I just, at the end of the day, I think Code of Honor is a very nice horse, okay? That I don't mean to disparage him. Shug's done a great job with that horse this year. But I just think at the end of the day, Maximum Security is the better horse. I saw Shug, obviously he's going to campaign for his horse and said, well, we've had a season-long campaign. Well, so is Maximum Security. I mean, he's been going since, January or, December for that matter. So, he's been there the entire time, too. He won the Haskell while Code of Honor was, waiting for the Travers. So, he doesn't lose any points for not, showing up either. He danced a lot of dances, and now he's got to win against older horses. And depending on what Code of Honor does, if Code of Honor wins the Breeders' Cup Classic and Maximum Security wins the Cigar Mile, I don't know. I still think that's real, but we'll figure it all out in the next month. That's the fun thing.
Yeah, I'm with you on Code of Honor. I'm not taking it, won the Haskell and did get the win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And I don't think he's out of the question. I'm not trying to make that point either in the Breeders' Cup Classic, particularly with the older division this year.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see. As far as, they're talking Maximum Security, either Clark or Cigar Mile. In the Fox show yesterday, Andy Serling kind of laughed and said, well, it's Gary and Mary West. They got to come to New York, right? They're not going to go back to Churchill. And I laughed with that. But I said at the top of the show today, I wonder if they're going to sit back, wait a couple weeks after the Breeders' Cup, and just wait and see, because it's not out of the question that Breeders' Cup horses could wind up in the Cigar Mile. And it's never out of the question for sprint types to wind up saying, let's stretch out and take a little shot at that Cigar Mile and see if we can put that on the resume. And that sprint division is so strong this year. Maybe they want to see who's going to wind up in the Cigar Mile, as opposed to maybe going to the Clark and you face, Bal Harbour and Tom's Detat.
I think that's a good point, too, Seth. But I'll take Maximum Security. You can have Mattoli and Imperial. I'll take Maximum Security going a mile. But yeah, that is a good point, because you're right. You get you know, you get those horses maybe with one more start in their career and they try the Cigar Mile. But you're right. Let's just be honest here. And then again, I'm not trying to knock Churchill Downs or anything like that. The Clark's not going to be a good race. So you're right. He'd be 1 to 100 at the Clark. And I think it is still a grade one.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah.
You're right. It's not going to be a good race. So, I do, that is a good point, Seth, that they want to take the road less traveled, over a track, obviously, he likes. And you know, if we're grading on a scale of 1 to 100, the Cigar Mile is probably going to be a 95. The Clark's going to be about a 60. So, you know, that's a very good point you bring up.
And also, if they're shopping for an Eclipse, you wait and see, and it'll help your decision to see what Code of Honor does.
Yeah, that's true, too. It will be interesting. Shug actually always mentioned, I mean, I think he said it on Saturdays at the Spa with me, too. I mean, he always mentioned the Cigar Mile, so that would be fascinating, too. Shug's done that before. Off the top of my head, I think Coronado's Quest ran in the Cigar Mile as the last start of his career after running in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So, you know, Shug has, it's been done before. He's mentioned that race numerous times. I can remember putting the Breeders' Cup newsletter together after the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and that was his immediate response. I think we'll look at the Cigar Mile, not the Breeders' Cup Classic. So,
well, yeah, he runs maybe a second or third in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and then they start to think, if we want an Eclipse, maybe we should go to the Cigar.
Yeah, I don't think he's making any friends in boats by running second in the Classic, not this Classic. You know, so that's an interesting point. If they want to try to squeeze a little more juice out of the lemon.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's jump in. Empire Six today. Again, $279,000 already in the pool. It's a mandatory pay. Don't forget, it's a 20-cent increment, so you can put a nice little ticket together for a reasonable amount of money. It's worth taking a shot because, again, they'll juice it up, a couple of million in the pool, maybe more. Sequence starts today in race number 4. It'll go off at about 2 o'clock. It is the Chelsea Flower, $100,000 for the 2-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. And, again, I will tell people to wait for official scratches, but I know you from shooting texts back and forth, I know you're aware, but Dave Grenig tweeted out yesterday that Princessa Caroline has a temperature and will miss this race. But again, wait for official scratches. She's the one you have to tilt towards if she's in, but if she's out, the race changes up a little bit. But the Chelsea Flower for the 2-year-old fillies, a mile on the grass, how'd you see it?
Yeah, unfortunate. The half-sister to Lady Eli is going to come out, unfortunate, but what it does, Seth, it kind of really blows this race up, I think, because she was probably going to be, you know, 6-5 in a 12-horse field, and now all of a sudden you've got a lot of fun going on, I think. I'll land on Enola Gray, who I thought was really impressive for Shug. I've got it 1-8-7. Winning at First Asking at Kentucky Downs to Joe Allen, a homebred here, a big pedigree, and Uncle Mo out of a war front there. Joe Allen's got a lot of those war fronts in his stable and his stilts. And I just think the fact that she won like a good thing at Kentucky Downs really bodes well for her future. With that being said, she's not overwhelming over any of these. Sparkling Sky for Fletcher is in the mix. I thought that was a pretty good fourth in the Miss Griot, facing winners for the first time. Breddenberry is interesting for me, for Graham. First Lasix here, comes over from Newmarket when was with David Sincock, who does a really good job in Europe. And this is an Andrew Stone, you know, campaigns a lot of horses over there, and he'll bring them over here. I'm going to assume, Seth, that maybe there was a bleeding issue here or something, because he comes over now, Lasix. How about dropping 9 pounds, Seth, of 131 pounds last time with Spencer aboard, and now she gets Rosario, First Lasix, at 122. If the money shows, I think you really, really have to give Breddenberry a big look here. I'm going to use those three kind of on top and then go from there. You know, I think English Breeze is not without hope. There's a few others in here as well. Lady Fatima closed and looked good last time. So I've got it 187, Seth. I think it's a tough race to kick off the sequence. Maybe Enola Gray's too good. But if not, I think it's really wide open.
Yeah, I have it 1-8-10. I didn't know what to do with Bredenberry, and I suppose, you know, I originally had Princess of Caroline on top, so I suppose now I would pull Bredenberry in at the bottom of my top four there. I will note also Bredenberry, you know, being from Europe, if the grass comes up a little bit soft, that'll you would have to think play into her hands. And she broke the maiden in the second start of her career facing the boys. So there is some talent here. I wasn't quite sure what to do with her, but as I say, maybe now I'll pull her in at the bottom of the mix. I used Enola Gay in the second slot, now move up on the scratch of Princess of Caroline. Again, it was a pretty good-looking debut. It was at Kentucky Downs in one of those expensive or rich maiden races, $132,000 for
all
maidens. Shoosh. Next out, winners underneath her, so I think she was flattered by that. I think she's really interesting in here. Sparkling Sky in the second spot for me from Todd Pletcher. The fourth place finish in the Miss Grillo was off of a maiden win, so she got a little experience in that kind of company behind a horse like Cristal. English Breeze, you mentioned that horse, the David Donk trainee, broke the maiden in the career debut. The buyer numbers have been stepping forward in all the starts, and I think that one is potentially a player as well. The monkey wrench in here obviously will be the surface and how the weather affects that. Some horses will like it better than others, and it's just these are lightly raced enough that you don't have really enough of a database to go on. But off of that win down at Kentucky Downs, I'll tilt towards Enola Gay. So for me now, 1-8-10, and I'll pull that 7 in at the bottom of my mix.
Yeah, so race 5 will kick off the late pick 5. And folks, don't forget, daylight savings time, right? So we're earlier post today, too. 12:20 at Belmont. I've been sitting here refreshing my computer, Seth, hoping, you know, we should be getting scratches pretty soon, or if nothing else, at least the course condition. So race 5 is the maiden special, 3-year-olds enough going a mile on the main track.
4-1-6-8, I put Spice Road on top for Kieran, and I printed mine up before we have the morning line. I don't know if you have the morning line, but
I don't. I have this horse at 2-1, but he's going to be pretty strong, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking this horse will take a lot of action, and this may be one where you can kind of lean on if you're looking for one to kind of go with, although the Chad Brown horse, I think, has some upside potentially. But Spice Road, off the numbers in the last few starts for Kieran, looks pretty good for Kieran and Godolphin. What?
He's not even favored, actually, not to interrupt. He's got Chad at 9-5 on the rail and Spice Road at 2-1. So.
Oh, hey, that'll be interesting. That will be interesting to see how that plays out. But maybe it is. Maybe it's a two-deep race, and that's fine, too, if you can pare down to a couple in a race at the 20-cent increment. I don't disagree. One-Eyed Jack, as I said, I think there's some upside potential. Only two starts. Belmont in June, a good third. Decent little second stretching out to a mile and an eighth, going two turns up at Saratoga. And now a little bit of a break. Comes back from that, may have a little added maturity, may benefit from those two starts, and the cut back to the one-turn mile may prove right in the wheelhouse as well. Kid Bourbon is interesting for Mark Hennig. Improved nicely, buyer figure start 1 to start 2. And this one stretches out off a couple of sprints, and I kind of like that angle as well. So for me, 4-1-6-8.
I like Kid Bourbon in here. I think as we're going to get through this sequence, Seth, I think you'd probably agree it's not the type of sequence where you need to go 7 deep in each race. It seems relatively formful. I've got this 6-4-1. I would think one of those three horses is going to get you out of this race. I went with Kid Bourbon. I thought his comeback was really good. Boy, that was a really, really fast race. He runs an 82 buyer, finishing 9 lengths behind the winner. So that's a crazy fast race. Second off the layoff for Mark Hennig, who's had a nice meet. He's done well with maidens and 3-year-olds this year. So I think Kid Bourbon, if he moves forward, is a major player. I was surprised as we were talking, as you thought so too, that Spice Road is not favored here. He's earned a lot of money. You know, it's starting to get to the point of are you going to win a race or not? I know he did win a race. And then he was DQ, but he's 0-5 with 5 underneath finishes. I never really liked to see that. So I put him in second. I think he's a major player. You have to use him. He's an A. I'm just going to put him in second, and then One-Eyed Jack would be no surprise for Chad. But, I know performers are really, really nice for us to shug. But, One-Eyed Jack hasn't really made a dent in either of his races. finished well behind the winner both times. He's going to be over back, maybe the cut back to one turn and a mile as opposed to 9 furlongs at Saratoga will do him good. I thought he was pretty flat last time, to be honest with you. So I put him in third. I think you have to use him as well. But I guess I'm playing for a little bit of surprise. 6-4-1 for me.
I will toss in one more factor on Spice Road. If you go back, the horse actually finished first in a race but was DQ'd, and that one's notable back in June. It was a mile at Belmont over a muddy track. So that is an interesting little factor, too.
Yeah, because you're right. I think we are still haven't seen the update yet, but I would assume in some way, shape, or form there's going to be moisture in the track.
Yeah, it seems like that's it has to be inevitable from looking at the radar I looked at this morning. All right, 6th race at Belmont on this Sunday afternoon. State-bred optional claimers. These are the girls, $40,000 tags. Non-winners are two other than. 6th race will go a 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, I've got a 6-3-5-1 with the one-sheet selections. I like Bank Examiner in here for Jeremiah. I think she's kind of the now horse. I talked about it last race with Kid Bourbon. She really, really was impressive in her comeback. Now, she steps up. She faces better. There's no doubt about that. But she's got a lot of upside off of this 4-start. She likes winning races. She's won 2 in a row, both at Belmont, 2-for-2 at Belmont. Second off the layoff, I think she's got a future for Jeremiah. I'll put her in top. Hayfield is no doubt the one to beat. Rob Falcone does a really, really good job with his claim, 32%. The problem is, can you claim off Jason Service and Mike Dubb and take the pink and yellow off and improve the horse? I don't know if that's going to happen here with Hayfield. Now, he still might win anyway, because he's pretty good. But to me, and like I said, I really think Rob Falcone does a good job. I have to believe Hayfield comes back a little bit before she moves forward. I put her in second. Cash Offer is in the mix for Henning. We talked about him last race. But, boy, there's speed in here, Seth. And I don't know if Cash Offer can duel and then last, but she couldn't do it last time, and I think it's a little better group. I put her underneath and then down inside. Spring Drama is kind of the wild card this year and hasn't been out since April. If she can settle a little bit, work out a trip, I think she's a player. But I think she's also got to improve a little bit, maybe next time for her. I've got a 6-3-5-1 in the sixth.
I just juggled up your three. I have it 5-6-3-8. I put Cash Offer on top. I kind of like the speed pop angle, particularly if the race track comes up a little bit wet. I think this horse may try to speed pop him and might be tough to reel in late. Goes from Luis Saez on board to Jose Ortiz this afternoon. Cuts back from the 6.5 to 6. Again, the speed attracted me there. Bank Examiner, I agree with you, lightly raced, couple of wins, broke the maiden and went right through the next condition for Jeremiah, who's having a really good meet down there in Hayfield in the third spot. Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm with you on the Falcone angle. Very good first off the claim, but you look, this horse hasn't won this year and previously has been trained by Jeremiah, Linda Rice, and Jason Service, and so has been active at the claim box since late spring. And if those guys haven't gotten it done, in similar company, I'm just a little bit skeptical. Not that the horse can't win, but I'll put it down in the third spot this afternoon. So for me, in the 6th race, 5, 6, 3, and 8.
Yeah, stakes card at Belmont today, too. We've got a few of them. This race 7 is the Pumpkin Pie. The reason there is 3 and up. 7 furlongs on the main track. I think we're going to have a strong favorite in Chalon, and I don't think he has to win, though, Seth. How'd you see it?
Yeah, I put Chalon on top, and I'm just pulling up to see, 9-5 on the morning line. And this is a bona fide stakes quality type of sprinter. Comes out of the TCA last time, just, 3 weeks ago at Keeneland behind Spice Perfection and Dawn the Destroyer, Mia Mischief. Those are top quality types of runners. Spice Perfection and Dawn the Destroyer headed to the Breeders' Cup. So I think, ran fourth there, but no shame in that behind those types. Before that, won a stake at Parks. Before that, a good second in the Honorable Miss up at Saratoga. So I think this horse is legitimate for Arnaud Delacour and Javier Castellano. Philanthropic in the second spot for me. Jason Service for Gary and Mary West. Comes off of a couple nice wins. Class-wise, I suppose this is a test this afternoon, but I just think this horse is moving in the right direction. What are we getting there, odds? Yeah, 6-1. Not surprising, again, being lightly raced. class-wise stepping fairly significantly. I think it's going to fit, though, and I'll certainly have this horse on my ticket, on my Empire 6 ticket. I don't want to let this type beat me from Jason Service, particularly at potentially a little bit of a price. And Ms. Locust Point, who a mid-Atlantic runner over the past few seasons that does very, very well. We have 9 wins and 20 career starts, has some nice positional early speed, should be in the thick of things from the get-go, so I'll put that one in as well. And it depends on how deep I can go, you know, where I go a little bit lighter, other places in the ticket. Potentially, I could decide just to go with Chalon or have a couple of tickets using some deeper. And if I do go deeper, Majestic Reason probably gets on as well for Graham. The third place finish behind Come Dancing last time was okay. I just think this one, just to me, has a look of a horse that might be primed for a good effort. What are we getting on that one? And also a 5-1 morning line price. So I don't know. Again, I'll have to parse out the ticket and decide where I can go thin and where I can go deeper. But this may be one where I'll just stick with the 7 and think this horse is clearly the best, or maybe have a little backup with a couple others in here. Or maybe the Empire I'll single, and then, you know, in a pick 4, just kind of back up with some of the others and stay alive that way. But for me, in the pumpkin pie, I have a 7-3, 6-5.
Yeah, I've got a 6-7-5. You know, you've talked about Chalon, and she's clearly the horse to beat, but I don't think she has a big margin for error, and just the fact they're not going to the Breeders' Cup is a little, yeah, you know, kind of, I don't know, bad vibes a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, because they were second last year.
Yeah, they were second, beating ahead last year. So I put her in second. I came up with Miss Locust Point. I'm hoping your philanthropic is not going to be ready for this, and that, to me, she's the inside seed, and I think that puts Miss Locust Point in the right spot off the far turn if Philanthropic gives it up, because this Locust Point is therefore going to inherit the lead, going to get first drawn. I put her on top, a little bit of a price with John Service, brother of Jason, and she wasn't too far back behind Chalon, too back at Parks. And, you know, I think she's going to sit a similar trip. Maybe she's got a couple wins at 7 furlongs, just kind of looking for something different. I've got Chalon in second. She's a must-use A. I think she's the most likely winner. I'm just going to play against her on top. That's all. I do think that you talked briefly about Majestic Reason. I think she's a major, major player in here. The class drop for Graham, a good race, as you mentioned, to Come Dancing, who will be my pick in a billionaire sprint. Carlos Pizarro is throwing great guns. Did you see the workout? We talked about it, Seth, the other day. He worked in like 50 or something like that. So there was no 110 again needed. So she slowed it down a little bit. But I think Majestic Reason sits on a good race. She doesn't have to be too far out of it for Graham. And so those are the three I'm going to concentrate on. Probably going to use a backup or two. Philanthropic, if she forgets to stop, for Jason Service. Pink Sands is hardly impossible for Shug. Even Cigarro Row is mixed from the outside. So I think there's more going on than Chalon at 8-5 in here, but I'll definitely do this.
All right, race number 8, full field in the Zagora, $125,000 up for grabs. Fillies and mares, 1.5 miles on the grass. How did you see race 8?
Well, I saw it as if you need a single, here it is, because Fool's Gold is supposed to win this race for Chad. The 1.5 miles, we know how good Chad is, how good he is at getting horses to run long distance on the turf. Excuse me, and just Fool's Gold just looks better than this group. It's as simple as that. She won the way at Saratoga going this trip. Two back, he was in a little bit too deep maybe last time to Mississippi. He's a player in the Philly and there's dirt. He might even run in the Breeders' Cup third for Graham, depending on what he decides to do. I think Fool's Gold is your single here. I'll play it that way. I just have a 6-5, Seth. Lady Montour C on the class drop for Tom Albertrani. I think she'll be on the lead as far as she can take it. She just hasn't really been as good this year as she was last year, and so I don't really know what that's all about, but I can't see her lasting. She's a B. I did this one sheet selection, so I've just got a 6-5. If somebody was in third, I'd have Skyfall Stars in third.
And that's the way I have it, 1-2. I have it 6-4, 8-5. Fool's Gold on top, the way of win, a couple back at the 1.5 miles. Ran fifth in the Glens Falls subsequently, but the numbers on this one on a best effort certainly tab that Chad Brown runner, Sky Full of Stars. To me, this horse, and I run into these every once in a while, just I think is more talented than we've seen so far in the U.S. starts, or the North American starts, going back to Woodbine last year. Only a couple starts so far this season. Might be primed to get to where I think this horse is. Lemon Zip to me is maybe a little bit interesting. And I'm just looking now, 9-2 morning line, Lemon Zip. A horse with nice improving numbers over the past few starts. Close up second at the mile and a half last time behind O Dionysus, facing the boys, that was. So Lemon Zip to me is one that's also a little bit interesting in here. So in the eighth, I have it 6-4, 8-5.
So the ninth wraps it up at Belma, wraps it up in the Empire Six, closing day, the final race, see you next late April, I guess. And it's a state bred maiden claimer that adds 40, 6.5, 2-year-old filly, 6.5 on the main track.
7, 6, 5, and 8 for me. I put High School Crush on top. I really like Twirling Candy as producing win early type runners. This horse didn't quite live up to that in the debut. But George Weaver, who he was a little cool at Saratoga, but he's put together a pretty good Belmont meet. This one debuted for a 50 tag, now drops half a step down the ladder, I suppose. And with that one under the belt and Twirling Candy on top, I'll put High School Crush on top. Cruising Strong goes out for a Brad Cox off the claim, a near-miss effort. The numbers for both of these are a little bit light, buyer numbers, but you're comparing them to the rest of this field and compared to the field. Yeah, they're all right. So, and then I'll put the 5 in the third spot. I like that this horse comes in from out of town and picks up Jose Ortiz. I think that's going to be a benefit for the Mike Trombetta runner. So for me, 7, 6, 5, and 8. And I'll probably use the top three, and if I can, probably use the top three in here, 7, 6, and 5.
I've got an 8, 6, 7. I'm just kind of taking a new face. That's all. I mean, Welsh Gold didn't really run on debut, but I mean, she was 11-1 in a 10-horse field, the maiden specialweight at Saratoga. The winner that day ran off, Iris Danzig. The blinkers come off. Greg Sacco does a good job, 12% here, second time maidens, and the drop is seismic here. I mean, this is not a good group at all. Welsh Gold does well to draw outside High School Crush and Cruising Strong. I'll play for a little bit of an upset. I don't think it's a big upset, but I think on the drop with Lescano aboard, there's some intent here. Put her on top. To me, clearly Cruising Strong, I think, is the one to beat just because we go off the claim for Brad Cox. Now, improving off of Linda Rice, not going to be easy, but this gal was just necked out on debut, and here she comes. Jocks are just 10,000. That doesn't bother me at all. It's a big purchase of New York. So Cruising Strong is a major player with Castellano, and your pure pick High School Crush is an absolute must-use on any ticket on the top line, because she was a good third on debut, was not far behind Cruising Strong. Like you said, Weaver very slow at Saratoga, but here he is at Belmont, 25%, 6-24, good for him. If this falls apart a little bit, she's going to be rolling in the lane. The extra half furlong is not going to hurt her either. So I've got an 8-7. I'll probably will fool around a little bit with you. You mentioned Astarte Gold, open company out of town. Here's Jose Ortiz. I think that bodes well. You know, maybe Top Hat Invasion if you're spreading, but I think those four that we mentioned, that you mentioned, are going to get you through if you have it in your budget.
And hopefully everybody makes it that far, because it's going to be a fun day. Closing day at Belmont, Empire Six, mandatory pay with the 279 in the pool currently. You got to expect a couple million more. 20-cent increment. You can put together a whale-sized ticket for something in that $40 to $60 range, or get some buddies together and put together an even bigger ticket and take your shot. And as I always say, I hope it, you know, doesn't chalk out, but I hope it plays logically and we get a whole group of people that walk away with $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this stuff. This might sound crazy, but this is, looks to me like the type of ticket you might be able to hit 2 or 3 times. I don't think you need to, you know, spend $260 on this. There, you and I, we talked about that $19.20 ticket. This has that kind of look to me today. So I'm going to play it that way, a little bit more condensed with maybe an extra ticket or two on my strong convictions, and maybe try to hit it a couple times unless the track comes up a mess and chaos ensues. It looks to me to be pretty formful. So yeah, good luck to everybody. They're going to, you know, keep an eye on the track, obviously, as Seth and I have mentioned. I can't believe scratches aren't out yet. It's an hour and 10 minutes, the first post, for Pete's sake. Usually they're up at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it just refreshed, and they aren't out. They aren't up
yet. Yeah, a little. I don't know what's going on, but that's frustrating. But anyway, keep it, folks, pay attention to the scratches. Pay attention to the track condition, because it could be a little wet down there. So good luck, everyone. Fun day at Belmont, for sure.
Brian, appreciate the conversation on this closing day at Belmont and the thoughts. Hopefully we help people out, and hopefully we'll help people out as Breeders' Cup comes around, too. You're headed out the middle of the week, and we will certainly check in with you out there at some point over Friday and or Saturday.
Yeah, some way, shape, or form, we'll get in touch. Good luck to everybody. Enjoy the seminar as well. And yeah, we'll talk to you in a different time zone next week.
Sounds good. Thanks. We'll talk again.
Be good, Seth.
Brian Etto, again, covering the Rainbow, the, not the Rainbow, the Empire Six at Belmont. And as I say, he's headed out to Santa Anita about the middle of the week. He does the Breeders' Cup notes for the Breeders' Cup, and so he'll head out there, and we'll check in probably Friday and or Saturday afternoon, maybe give him a call and get a little weather update, maybe some thoughts live from on the grounds out at Santa Anita next weekend. All right, speaking of the Breeders' Cup, with the Breeders' Cup right around the corner, bet 100, get 100. No better time to sign up for a new account than right now. Continuing through November 2nd, if you sign up for a brand new account and wager $100 into that account all before November 2nd, you get $100 put into your account by Capital OTB. Breeders' Cup Seminar coming up on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Complimentary beverages. You also get free pass performances. Waitress available for dinner as well. If you want to add that to your evening down here at the Clubhouse Racebook, keep that in mind. But either way, we'd love to see you here. The more the merrier. Always like a big crowd down here for the seminars, and the Breeders' Cup Seminar coming up Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, the same location. You can reserve your seat for the Breeders' Cup. $5 gets you a seat here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Admission and a Breeders' Cup commemorative glass, all of that if you reserve a seat here at the Clubhouse Racebook for Breeders' Cup weekend. And don't forget, you don't have to reserve a seat. You can come and standing room and stand at the bar and just enjoy the crowd. There will be plenty of room here for everybody to root and cheer their winners across the line Friday and Saturday of the Breeders' Cup. Don't forget also that today, Sunday, is NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Love to see you down here to enjoy all the football action and all the racing action every Sunday throughout the NFL season. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. I think, I don't know whether I can pull it up quickly, but I think I read Serling. Let me see if I can pull this up quickly. Andy Serling, I think, tweeted out that they were going to have an early start for, oh, well, 6 minutes ago. Okay, this changes things up significantly. 6 minutes ago, Andy Serling tweeted out, "In a shocking development, we are now off the turf in all scheduled turf races today." So that is going to significantly change things. Serling has also tweeted out the scratches. So they haven't been updated on the Belmont page itself yet. But keep that in mind. That'll change things up. I have dirt selections on the one sheet at CapitalOTB.com. But they did change things up. They say Talking Horses will start at 11:10. I'm looking at their feed. It hasn't started yet, so I'll wrap things up. You would think it'll be starting momentarily, however. So Talking Horses from Belmont Park coming up shortly. Wrapping it up here for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill, visited a little bit by Brian Etto, gave you some thoughts on that Empire Six. Things will switch up now a little bit, obviously. They had, prior to the show, they had said only race one was off the turf. But just again, Serling tweeting out just about 7 minutes ago that they're now off the turf totally. Maybe that'll make things easier for the Empire. Maybe a couple of Maybe scratches will reduce fields and a couple of horses will float to the surface that'll look good on the main track. But put a ticket together. It's a day where you can take a shot and maybe have some fun for a reasonable amount of money, and that mandatory in the Empire Six. All right, I'll be back in about an hour and 15 or so with OTB Live on this Sunday afternoon, coming up Sunday afternoon, but we appreciate you tuning in on this Sunday morning for Racing Across America. Thanks, as always, and we'll see you in about an hour.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.